And welcome to Four Women, Four Health, a podcast where holistic health practitioners come together to empower you with expert insights and practical tips on a wide range of topics, including gut health, nutrition, mental well-being, and making informed decisions. Join us every Monday for a dose of inspiration, education, and empowerment as we explore the transformative impact of holistic health on our lives. Thank you for tuning in.
So I had a client send me an article this week about, actually, it was the last 2 days. And I want to bring this up because of what we talk about with gut health and mental health and wellness and our daily lifestyle habits and the things that we're exposing to ourselves on a daily basis. And so she sent me a whole article about fluoride in drinking water being linked with lower IQ in children, but instead of it just being an article, it's an actual federal report that has been determined from a new government study that was done by the National Toxicology Program, which is part of the Department of Health and Human Services. So it says that they have examined previous research on fluoride levels, and their conclusion is the first example of a federal agency finding what officials think is a link between higher levels of fluoride exposure and lower IQ in kids.
That's sad.
I know. Especially because I think there's so many people that are catching on to the fluoride thing.
Right.
There's definitely more moms that are asking for alternatives at the dentist office.
Which is important to note that you can do
yes,
that.
Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. But I think there's also a sense of fear because so many dentists, it actually talks about in here that the American Dental Association, which champions water fluoridation. So they say that fluoride is important and that you need fluoride in order to avoid cavities and infection and abscess and all of that. And it said that the American Dental Association has been critical of earlier versions of the new analysis in Malin's research, asked for comment. A spokeswoman late Wednesday afternoon emailed that the organization's experts were still reviewing the report. And so there's just this back and forth because fluoride is a mineral that exists naturally in water and soil, but it's not naturally occurring in our teeth. I think that's what's important to understand.
And I think the amount of fluoride that we face is more than ever.
Right.
And that's why it's becoming more detrimental to our health. And I mean, the first 5 years of a child's life are some of the most crucial developmentally. And some people make the argument of, oh, fluoride in your toothpaste is only one thing that you do. You know, it's so minimal, blah, blah, blah. But at the same time, one, you're starting that at a young age with your children and they're developing. Two, I mean, now it's showing that it affects their brain development, their IQ scores. And three, to me, it's a habit that you do at least twice a day. So I feel like that's something to easily get rid of too.
Oh, and this brings up too how more and more studies are increasingly pointing to a different problem, suggesting a link between higher levels of fluoride and brain development because they're looking at the impact on developing fetuses and very young children who are ingesting water with baby formula. So not only are they getting it like right fresh out of the womb if they're not nursing, but then they go from drinking it at least that first year of life, and then they're drinking it in the water that they're drinking from home if the water is not being filtered, and they're getting fluoride treatments in their toothpaste and then also at the dentist.
Which is so frustrating.
Toothpaste has a disclaimer. If you swallow it, it's toxic. And too much of it causes throwing up and vomiting.
Yeah. Oh. Throwing up and vomiting.
Yeah, both of those.
And this is really interesting, too, because it says studies in animals showed fluoride could impact neurochemistry, cell function, and brain regions responsible for learning, memory, executive function, and behavior.
Because it's a neurotoxin.
And what are we seeing kids? More and more kids are being diagnosed with executive functioning. Yeah. They're on the spectrum, being diagnosed with autism, and we look at behaviors when it comes to regulation and how many kids are on medications because they can't regulate and they're diagnosed with ADD and ADHD.
And I think the thing that's so frustrating is this should just be a normal standard. Like, right. Water yeah. should just be able to filter this. People shouldn't have to go to
buy, you know, filters.
The highest standards to avoid this. And it's not always feasible for everybody.
Well,
which is so unfair.
The thing is, too, is that if you don't have the proper education, you can buy water filters, but then you also have to understand you need to put the minerals back into the water.
Right.
Because if right. you're doing reverse osmosis or remineralizing the water, then you want to make sure that when you're pulling all of that stuff out, you're putting it back in.
Right. Because then you're not absorbing it.
Yeah. So
one of my professors, actually, that was one of our units, was how to do that. And all you literally do is put a jar of water on your counter and put Himalayan sea salt in the bottom of it.
Yes. Yeah.
And you keep doing that until it stops dissolving in the water. Mm-hmm. Once it stops dissolving, then that water is ready for you to drink and you will absorb it. And when you absorb it, you're not going to pee every 2 seconds also.
Yeah. Yeah. No, because I mean, obviously if you're not hydrated, you're dehydrated.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's really important.
And the water that we're drinking, it doesn't have any of those nutrients to absorb at all. So even though you're drinking water all day long, you're just running to the toilet and peeing it out. That's all it is.
Well, and this is really interesting too, because it says that it makes sense for pregnant women to lower their fluoride intake, not only from water, but also from certain types of teas. So there's discussion about policies being implemented as to whether or not they would require fluoride content on beverage labels.
Wow.
I think,
you know,
they
you
should.
Don't think about that, but it's like, you we know. Like,
that's just my pet peeve, is the standard should
I
just
know,
everything.
Standard. The American standard
yes,
is so low. I know. And
you shouldn't have to read into everything in exclusive detail.
But that's...
It's just so...
I mean, when you think about it, though, that's what, how many people are on anxiety meds? How many people are on depression medication? How many people are on ADHD meds?
A majority of everybody.
So yes. It's a standard of food.
Right.
It's just not accessible for everybody. And I think that's what really frustrates me, is unless you're unfortunately educated or have a poor experience and have to learn the hard way, the normal people aren't looking into their food, their water.
No, they're trusting everybody.
Yeah. Well, and that.
How about this? High levels of fluoride in drinking water have been linked to an increased risk of skeletal fluorosis, which is joint pain, stiffness, long-term bone damage, osteoporosis, all of that stuff.
And I'm pretty sure lower testosterone in males.
Yep. And it's, you know, frustrating, because the other side of it is healthcare professionals telling us it's safe. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but where my kids were going to the dentist, they referred to it as vitamins for your teeth.
Like, sure, maybe in a small amount, but the reality is it's in our drinking water excessively.
Right.
It's in our soil excessively.
And
it's
why
in
the toothpaste. Looking at diet? Why aren't we looking at, you know, options? Like, I know there's controversy with even hydroxyapatite. Now, that is a mineral that is naturally occurring in our teeth and can remineralize the teeth. But I think everything needs to be looked at in moderation too.
Mm-hmm.
If your teeth are not good, we know that the teeth are connected to the oral microbiome. We know that the teeth are all connected to a meridian in the body. So it's important, because I think that we've kind of, just like the same thing we've done with antibiotics, you know, our oral health is being directly affected by how much we're over cleaning our mouths. Like, we're using mouthwash, we're using toothpaste with chemicals in it, and that can create imbalance in the oral microbiome too, which if you have imbalances in the oral microbiome, you're going to have more room for bacteria to thrive and cavities, you know, to breed. And that we don't want to essentially be thinking we're doing something good, and then that good thing is causing not good things to happen.
Right, like parents that think they're doing the right thing.
Yeah, And it really is hard, and I get it. I understand, as somebody who used to make these choices for my kids and has learned better and is now doing things differently, like, I understand why for so many dentists this is, like, you know, a battle they do not want to fight, because, I mean, you have to come to terms with the fact that you've been, you know, putting fluoride in the mouths of thousands and thousands of children, and to be a provider and to think, you know, you took an oath and you're trying to help people. And then the evidence comes back that, you know, the research says you've actually been creating more harm, and these patients of yours could be, you know, dealing with neurological issues because of the toothpaste that you're handing out in your practice, or because of the, you know, fluoride you're recommending that they be treated with every 6 months. Like, nobody wants to feel like they did something, you know, to hurt anybody. So I understand where for many providers, they get very defensive about this stuff because they're like, no, I learned in dental school that this is good and that we need fluoride and you don't want an infection and abscess and all of that. Like, but the problem is that we learn things, and sometimes the things that we learn don't always end up being what we thought they were.
It's because science is always evolving.
Exactly. Yes.
You and never know.
Practitioner, you're there's going to be moments that you're wrong.
And you have to be open to being able to be like, oh, I guess I was wrong.
And for your patients, you should be.
Because you should read it all.
If you're worried about your ego more than finding out the information so that you can evolve as a better practitioner to serve your patients well.
I think being able to have that conversation of, oh, you know, when I was in school, this is what the research supported, but it has grown since then. Yep. And to have that conversation just makes your, you know, patients trust you more.
Yeah,
so I
absolutely
don't think it's a bad thing that research is changing. I think it's, you know, it could be helpful.
Actually. I mean, let's go back to how many doctors, when our parents were, you know, pregnant with us, doing, you know, labor, like they were in labor and doctors were smoking cigarettes. Like, seriously.
It's just the more you know.
Yeah.
The more you know.
Yep. You know, and it's like you learn over time. Like, I remember when my parents, when I was younger, like, smoking was a stress relief for them.
Yeah, right.
But
that's what they were told.
That's what they were told. And then you come to find out that smoking can kill you.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it causes a lot of stress on your system. So it's like you learn these things, and then as you learn them, you want to take the information, reflect on it, and then do better in your life and do better for the generations that come after you. Because for me, it's like, you know, I, as a practitioner, I want to know that I am doing the best I can to give my clients and my patients the most truthful, honest, educational information and knowledge and wisdom out there. Like, and for me, that means being a forever student. I don't know it all. I've got to be willing to learn.
Nobody knows it all.
Right? We have to be willing to accept the fact that things that we once knew then, you know, as things change and evolve, might shift. And that's okay. But we don't want to sit there and point the finger. We need to be having healthy dialogue. And then we need to have a general consensus where when we find this information out and make these discoveries, okay, let's put people instead of profit now. Let's look at, okay, if we know this information, what can dentists be doing now in practice so that they can be supporting, you know, neurological development, especially when we know that the numbers are on the rise when it comes to autism and children being diagnosed on the spectrum. I mean, by 2030, we're looking at 1 in 2 kids, the statistics are stating. That's nuts. And we know that's a neurological, you know.
And how crucial that brain development is.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. So I think it's really, really important. And I am so grateful to all the amazing dentists out there who help keep our oral microbiomes healthy and really help children and adults with the challenges that come with our dental health. It's, you can crack a tooth, you can get a cavity. I mean, there's a lot of unknowns with your dental health and your hygiene. And I'm very thankful that we do have acute care available and that there are many dentists who change the lives of so many because their confidence is restored when their smile, you know, has been restored or their oral health, you know, has gotten better. Like, that helps change the lives of so many people. And I feel so grateful. My brother is an amazing dentist here in Rochester, and I'm very grateful for him and all the work that he does locally with all these kids here in our community in pediatrics. But I also, you know the importance of learning and knowing better so that we can do better. And my hope is that as practitioners, we can all grow in those areas.
Thank you for tuning in to 4 Women, 4 Health. We hope you found today's episode insightful and inspiring. Don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an update. Please remember that our discussions are for informational purposes only and are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any illness. Always consult with a healthcare professional before making any changes to your health routine. Stay well and see you next time.